Hello, friends. Welcome to the first ever episode of the TWP podcast, a podcast unlike any other. I am here with my friends. What did I say?
Nobody knows what TWP is, but we're calling it that right now.
Well, so here's the beginning. I love how I'm not even through my intro and Mark's interrupting me already.
I know. I love how quick you got cut off.
It's like Mark has Tourette's. He just goes, TWP.
I've been saying it all day, waiting for this moment.
That was such a solid intro, too. I felt like that was a great take.
It was great.
First take.
I think we keep it.
All right, let's run it back, and let's do this for real.
Let's run it back.
I feel like this show is just going to be an intro. Keep redoing the intro.
I refuse to believe that. All right, here we go. This is going so well so far. My name is Kyle Cousins. I'm here today with my friends Mark Nogler and Brett Wiersma. Welcome, guys.
Yo.
All right, sorry.
Let's, in the way of kind of introduction, sort of a why are we here? TWP podcast, which for those of you listening, and it may never be anyone, for the three of you listening today. TWP stands for Tomorrow We Pod. And if you're paying attention, it doesn't mean a whole lot, but was born out of conversations with my good friend Mark and my good friend Brett over some time. And we talked about how do we get this conversation recorded. We've got so many great ideas. We just have a lot to share with the world. Why not bless the world with another podcast? And so here we are. Brett, do you want to kind of share how we got here from your perspective?
Yeah. Also, I believe that the people who will be listening to this are our spouses, and we'll probably force our children also to listen. So we might be into the double digits of listeners, which would be tremendous.
Great point. I love your optimism.
Yeah. So, I mean, to not disagree with you, my friend Kyle, but Tomorrow We Pod does have a meaning because we always talked about doing a podcast, but then kicking it down the road. Like, oh, we'll do that. We'll do that next week, or we'll do that next month, or tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow. Right. So, to me, this is, Tomorrow We Pod, but now we pod. So now it's the NWP podcast. we are fast friends. Kyle got married in February of 2019, and I didn't know Mark existed until 3 days before the wedding, and we immediately hit it off, me and Mark.
Is that the truth?
Yeah, I didn't know him until we were at that Pig Floyd restaurant, and he was editing your like
and you made me work the entire
your
time.
Photo,
that's incredible.
Your, like, photo reel. And
I was famous for making a lot of friends work during my wedding week. I was not afraid to put some friends to work. That's for sure.
Right, and if it wasn't your wedding, the answer would have been no from all of us. So that's right. Well, anyone can love anyone during their wedding week. So we became fast friends. Literally during the reception of the wedding, we decided, Mark and I and our spouses, that we were going to vacation together. And we were going to vacation together in May. So from February to May, we became fast friends. And then we vacationed together in May. So our relationship just kicked off. And then Kyle and I have known each other since ninth grade year of high school. So that's how I feel we got here. And we just decided that we thought that our conversations were funny, and there is obviously some hubris there, but we said, hey, let's do a podcast. And now here we are.
No doubt. Mark, I want to hear from you. What was your perspective? So we just kind of heard Brett's side of showing up at lunch that day. It was like a couple days, 1 or 2 days before the wedding. And we had the 9 or 10, I think we had 9 groomsmen, my dad, a couple of people around the table outside, and you first lay eyes on Brett Wiersma. I did not realize that. That is crazy to me. But share with us from your perspective, meeting Brett for the first time?
You make it sound like it's an Old Testament encounter between a boy and his 13-year-old wife about to be coming in on the camel.
There's hey, where, Brett wherever Pierce, you want to take this, no, wherever you want to take it, I'm game.
I think you had kind of built up, oh my gosh, I can't wait till you meet Brett. He's the funniest guy I've ever met. Oh my gosh, can't wait till you meet Brett. That kind of thing, probably for a couple months. He didn't disappoint. It was good. I mean, it was worth the anticipation.
It wasn't a total letdown.
Seriously, it was. No, not. I mean, not totally. I mean, yeah, it was good. It was great.
Well, and then the night of the wedding, the reception, when I think just sparks flew, emotions ran high, and a friendship was born.
Things were sad.
That is accurate.
Well, I think it's safe to say. I think it's safe to say this podcast, you could argue, is actually decades in the making, in the sense that what Brett said, we met, over 15 years ago, and I was the new kid to town. Brett was the guy at our school, very popular, very well known, class clown, but also the class president. So, like a rare blend of comedy and leadership there. One reason why we are such good friends to this day. But Brett was the guy that made sure that as the new kid, I was invited to everything. I was never left out. And so we have been very, very good friends. I would call Brett a best friend for the last 15 years, even living across the country. And then Mark, you and I met when I moved to Orlando. It wasn't right away. I think you came over to the church that I was attending probably a couple years into my stint in Florida, and I would say we became fairly fast friends. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so. So I had started like I guess maybe guest worship leading.
That's
at
right.
Church first.
Yeah, I don't remember the first time we actually met, but you have been very much like a big brother to me, Mark. So Mark is about 10 years our senior. Brett and I are the same age. And
I knew we were going to do this.
We got to go there at some point. They're going to see pictures, but all that to say to bring it back the weekend of the wedding. And I'm not just saying this because it was my wedding. I think y'all would agree. There was a magic about that night.
It was a fun, fun night and friendships were born across. I mean, the number of text groups threads that are still alive and active, 16 months down the road is impressive.
And it's not that there weren't other friends included. Like, we had most of the groomsmen. I would just say that, like, the three of us, there's other kind of groups within that larger group, but the three of us, as time has gone by, Mark's now living in Nashville. Brett, you're in Iowa. I'm in Orlando, Florida. And it has just stayed consistent because I think that bond was made. So all that to say, this podcast has actually been a long time in the making, and we felt like it would be just so fun to get the three of us on a call. Very unique and different personalities, and yet a lot of fun things in common. So we're excited to see where this goes. Mark, do you want to kind of launch us into some conversation? Or Brett, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, even if it's garbage, we still get to hang out. So it's a
100%. 100%.
That we made like at least 90 minutes to be in the same space, even digitally. Heroic. I mean, feats of human strength, even though we were barely prepared. It's amazing.
As the audience can tell.
Yeah. We came up with, we were trying to figure out what are we going to talk about? What's our list look like? We got like 10 things. If we get through four of them, that'll be awesome. But
yeah, I'm thinking three.
So I think all three of us are big sports junkies. So we kind of let's talk about some of our favorite sports experiences or maybe our first sports game experiences. Now, we didn't give any details around that. Are we talking about like going to a professional sports experience or like individually the first experience we had with sports any kind?
I was leaning professional.
I would say first professional experience. What's something that was unique, either because it was a team, who you were with, where you were, and that might narrow it down a little bit.
All right, I'll go first.
Nice.
My family, so I grew up in Holland, Michigan. We would go to professional sporting events in either Detroit or Chicago. And my first, I know that I went with my family when I was really young, but I don't remember any of those. My one that I remembered first is a Lions home game at the Pontiac Silverdome against the Bears. I want to say it was probably 91, 92, 93, somewhere when I was 4, 5, or 6. And Eric Metcalf was a returner for the Bears. And he had a punt return and a kick return for a touchdown that game.
Wow.
And we, my family, I was born in Denver. My family loves the Broncos. So we didn't really care about the Lions. So we were like, cool, the Lions just lost to the Bears. We're all for that. But I remember that was the first time I heard swearing. And that was the first time that I asked questions about, you know, the smell of alcohol, you know, in a football stadium. If you're, I just kept asking my parents what that gross smell was, which might be to this day why I'm not a fan of beer. And every time, someone's like, "Hey, just try a sip," and it gets close to my nose, I'm just like, "It smells like jet fuel. No, thank you."
But safe to say, it was a full
stuff under the seat.
It was
sticky.
this is what we're going to get a lot of.
I felt like Buddy the Elf, who said it was a lot of fun, except it was smelly and everyone looked like they wanted to hurt me. Like, that's kind of what my experience was.
As y'all, any listeners get to know Mark over time, you'll learn that he is probably most entertained by himself.
He is. That is
which
accurate.
We love about him.
All right, are you doing yours, Kyle, or am I doing mine?
Sure. Brett, were you done with your story there? Were there any other details you wanted to share or any color you wanted to add to the experience?
That's the breadth of my memory of that event was Eric Metcalf swearing and the smell.
Eric Metcalf, I heard cuss words, alcohol bad.
Yeah,
exactly.
It was a full sensory experience. You saw, you smelled, and you heard. Did Big Jim, so Jim and Gail are your parents. We call your dad Big Jim. Did Big Jim buy you any snacks, a lemon icy perhaps?
You know, our family was always like, you don't need that. But then when, like, if I was like, hey, can I have this toy or can I have this drink? Like if we were at the grocery store. But anytime we were at an experience, so like if we went to a minor league baseball game, we always made sure like we had a meal there and dessert. So I guarantee I had something. I remember the first time I had a malt cup with that wooden spoon. I thought that was a really big deal when I was probably 10. So I didn't have one at that game, but
wow.
We loved it. It was fun. And I got to go with I'm a trailer baby in our family. So hanging out with my older siblings was always a benefit. Or a bonus, I should say.
Can you, Brett, explain for the listeners they probably know what you mean, but in some detail, can you explain what you mean by trailer baby?
I have an idea.
Well, when two people love each other very much.
I love where this is going.
Starts no. off with a
no, it was 1958.
yeah, the rain was gently coming down on a cold October night. No, we I am 6, 8, 10, and 12 years younger than my siblings. So, you know, by the time I was 11, everyone was out of the house. So
yeah.
Trailer baby meaning that I have siblings, but I was basically raised as an only child for the majority of my formative years.
Yeah.
I thought that's literally the sizes of trailers, like a 6 foot, an 8 foot, a 10 foot, 12 foot.
Great point.
So I was going another direction, Brett. Sorry.
You know, this is a good opportunity for us to stop. Our first advertiser for the day is actually U-Haul. Kyle, can you go ahead and read our ad for today?
Let's Brett, I've got one more question for Brett, and then I'll read the ad. A little bit of an aside, but I'm hoping that for our listeners I want people to get to know us. And so over time, we'll ask some questions. But I'm going somewhere with this. Brett, is it safe to say, and I don't say this in a derogatory way at all, it's pretty well known, does your family, you are Dutch, you are of Dutch heritage, would you say that your family, your parents, to some degree fit the bill, no pun intended, when it comes to, I don't love the word cheap, but frugal. Frugal is probably the best word.
Yes. But, yeah, because I think frugal is not like cheap always. It's more, there's always a plan. So I think, you know, for example, my parents have a cottage and a boat and a Sea-Doo, which you know, a cheap Dutch person, quote unquote, would never do. So I think once kids were out of college and they were done paying for private high school, that's, you know, then they then had money to allocate towards other things. So I would say frugal is correct.
Yeah, and I ask that because in your story, I even heard, I think there's a big Jim and Gail had a cool balance between being frugal and, you know, you said some contradictory things, which was that, like, they weren't going to get you all this kind of stuff at the game, and yet every time you went to those games, you got, like, a meal and even a dessert, and I would say that's a home run of an experience. I think that's pretty cool.
It was a home run at a football game, which sounds contradictory, but it's not.
Right. We're going to talk to Mark in just 1 second, but really quick, for your moving and storage resources, U-Haul is the way to go. Rent a U-Haul trailer today. It's an affordable solution for your moving needs with cargo and utility trailers starting at $14.95. You can find a low-cost option for any size move.
I'm so happy. Oh, I'm so happy.
All right, let me just gather myself
Thank
a second.
Thank you, I love how you're keeping it so pro-fesh.
Yeah, I'm trying. We'll cut this part out. All right, so Mark, was I going to answer the question next, or do you have a do you have an answer?
I have an answer.
All right, go for it.
So it wasn't my first professional sports experience, but I think it was probably the most my most memorable. So I grew up in Vermont, so New England sports and all that kind of.
Oh, I know where this is going.
Oh my gosh, really? No, okay. So I was always a baseball player growing up, all through high school and everything. That was what I wanted to do, and I loved the Red Sox. That was like my team. I wanted to see them play. All through my childhood, though, I never got to go. I went to visit my grandma every summer. She lived down in downtown Boston, Wakefield, Reading, all those little areas right around kind of the heart of Boston. Never went to a game. Never was part of my childhood. Just listened to them on the radio. Eventually watched them on TV, kind of a thing. But being now a parent, I had the opportunity to take all of my kids on a vacation after we had adopted, you know, our four additional kids. So I've got four older boys and four younger kids. We decided to take a long road trip and go visit all the places where me and my wife grew up and kind of see our family and that kind of thing. So we made the trek from Florida all the way up north and just did a bunch of fun stuff on the way. So we get to Boston, you know, we're walking around downtown Boston doing the Paul Revere Trail and all that kind of stuff. And I happened to look on the sports calendar for the day at, I forget which app I was using, but there was a Boston Red Sox game that night. And so I asked my boys if any of them wanted to go, and two of them wanted to go, and StubHub, that's what it was. And this is important. I'll tell you why in a little bit. So we get to, you know, I pay for the tickets. They're just standing room only tickets behind home base. So it was the cheapest ones I could get. I was like, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to go. It's going to be a fun experience. So we get there and just walking through like Yawkey Way and all that, just the lore of the sport and the historic part of what Fenway Park is like. I mean, it was better than I could have dreamed.
That's awesome.
I mean, I almost started to cry. It was like one of those, I couldn't go here as a kid with my parents or my dad, but I get to bring my boys and we get to experience this together. So that was like That was a huge moment.
So cool.
Nice.
So the StubHub thing was, I paid for the tickets, and then the guy at the turnstile wanted to see the tickets for each of the kids. So I showed him all the tickets. We scrolled through them, and he let us come in. And so we go and we're walking around. We're up at where our standing locations are, and I'm like, he never actually scanned these tickets. So these tickets are live, and the game doesn't start for another like 15, 20 minutes. So, dude, I reposted those jokers real fast for sale, sold them in less than 3 minutes.
Oh my gosh. Well played.
I gotta go. I got warrants.
I was like, and you're sharing this on a podcast that may be listened to by millions of people.
All three of them.
I think the statute of limitations has passed.
It's run out. Yeah.
Oh, well done.
But dude, that made for such a great experience, because then I could, like you, Brett, afford a hot dog and a beer, and to get my kids something and make it the whole experience. It was great.
Now, wait, Mark, was this before the days of like Venmo, where you had the funds immediately, or was this all digital?
All digital.
Fantastic.
It was phenomenal. It was also Big Poppy's last season. So this was I think it was the last game he played at Fenway.
Wow.
Holy cow.
Which was pretty crazy. I have the shirt. It was amazing.
You know, it's unique. I'm just realizing my zipper's down. Sorry.
thank you for sharing.
Well, yeah, you know what? I'm trying to set a precedent on this podcast for transparency. I appreciate the story, Mark, because even thinking again of the three of us, and I'm just going to continually remind our listeners how special I think this podcast is. In a country where, you know, the last World Series winner was a cheater, I think baseball in a lot of ways is, maybe dying is too strong of a word, but by and large, the youth getting into baseball and just the fact that it's America's pastime feels like it's faded a bit. And yet I know the three of us have such a special appreciation for the sport, both personally, having played it and loved it, just a love of the game, and then great fans of historic teams. Brett grew up a serious Tigers fan, and I think you were one of the few friends of mine, Brett, who like stuck with it. You always had the hats, the shirts, and you loved, you know, your Tigers. And got to enjoy some fun seasons in the early 2000s. Mark, the same with your Red Sox. And then I grew up on the north side of Chicago, a huge Cubs fan, and got to stick it out through the World Series. So it's fun that like we can talk about baseball. It's just another thing that I think connects us.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys are super happy with your World Series. I'm so happy for you.
So you said the last World Series winners were cheaters. Who won the last? I don't even know.
The Nationals beat the cheaters.
So I'm unplugged from it, right? So I'm probably Brett. Did the Astros not win 2 years ago?
No, last season the Nationals won in seven over the Astros, even though the Astros
were caught cheating.
Should, you know, they could have.
Okay.
And then 2 years, maybe three, I don't know, when the Astros won the World Series over the Dodgers, that you know, they are now wondering if that was under less than savory circumstances.
Got it. So clearly for our listeners, Kyle is not plugged in to the baseball world, because that was just a total estimate of a stat reference. But thank you, Brett.
I'm going to look up MLB World Series winners so that we can know what year this was.
I was on a cruise the year the Cubs won.
Were you?
That was 2016. I'll never forget that, because it's everyone posts about it all the time.
That was an amazing experience.
So yes, yeah. I was living in Chicago that fall of 2016. When the Cubs won the World Series. I have another side story there that I think is interesting, but yes, that was one of the most special, and my family goes back, you know, generations of Cubs fans. So to share that with my dad and with my grandmother, who actually passed away shortly thereafter, was so, so cool for our family.
Yeah. It was crazy.
So Mark, I think you're unique in that would you say you still follow your New England teams? I know you follow the Patriots pretty closely, or at least you did, while Tom Brady was there. But I feel like you follow your teams, even though you've been displaced. You've been in Florida for a number of years. Now you're in Tennessee.
Yeah, no, I do. All of them, kind of, I guess the big three, Red Sox, Patriots, and Celtics. Those have always been my teams. There was a stint where I absolutely loved the 49ers before I liked the Patriots. And I started liking the Patriots.
Because of Joe Montana?
Oh, of course. Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, Ronnie Lott, all those guys. I loved it.
Well, because you are similar age. You're a similar age to Tom Brady, I mean, within a few years. So you would have also grown up. You saw the catch. You watched those games probably as a kid. And that would have been pretty special.
What was it? What was it like to protest the Vietnam War, Mark?
Wow, we're going there.
Well, I was still a mere fetus, but it was a riotous occasion in my mother's womb. Oh. I was kicking and one second of it, Brett.
Oh my God. This feels like a good time to pause and acknowledge another one of our not sponsors, Mimo, Mochi Ice Cream. What is Mochi Ice Cream? Some people wonder. I can't do this with your laugh. With your laughing.
I think our shtick is that someone comes up with the ad and then it makes someone else do the read.
Okay. Let me run that back. Let us pause for just a few seconds to acknowledge one of our not sponsors, Mimo Mochi Ice Cream. Ever wonder what that melt-in-your-mouth chewy dough is? It's called Mochi. Mimo, master mochi makers, makes sweet rice dough from the best ingredients to create a magnificent doughy exterior. Mimo, chew your ice cream because whatever. So let's get back into the conversation.
Why did they focus so much on the dough and not on the ice cream?
Yeah, it's the dough.
Well, it says on the package, premium ice cream wrapped in sweet, pillowy dough. That's probably what I should have said.
Because whatever.
So great. That's literally on their homepage.
Who's our next sponsor? I'm really looking forward to our next not sponsor.
Guys want to text me ideas.
Okay.
If you want to text me ideas, feel free, and I'll just pull up the website.
Speaking of ice cream, let's move into another list that we have. We've compiled an incredible list of ice cream rankings that I think we should probably let people hear. Because this is not only kind of to benefit us, but I think this whole podcast is to give people some great ideas about things that they can also try.
Oh, yeah. We're not here for us. We're not doing this for us. We're doing this for you.
I mean, it's a little bit for us.
No doubt. So just to frame this part of the conversation going forward, in each episode, we're hoping at least once to identify or to have a discussion around what we're going to call our top 10 lists. And we may not get through all 10 for each guy, but as Mark said, our hope is that, one, you would be inspired by some of the conversation, whatever the topic that day. It may be movies, TV shows, food, restaurants, destinations. Today we're going to talk about ice cream, and hopefully you do hear some flavor ideas that you haven't tried before. And the dream is that someday we will have a website, we will have kind of a community online where we can post some of these lists and hear from you all, our listeners, on what some of your favorites are.
Yeah, yep.
So who wants to kick us off? Do we want to kind of give, let's start bottom of our list. Let's just give a few. Let's each go around and just give one or two flavors, and then we'll kind of work our way to the top.
Yeah, we could save them. So, like, maybe just we'll do the top three, but, like, anything after three, just give us one. How about that?
Perfect. I'll go first because I didn't share a sports story, and, Mark, you just totally, like, skipped over me.
Right into the sponsor, like, which is a perfect segue.
Totally.
He's right, Kaz. It's your fault.
My Mochi. Well, I'm going to – look, guys, we have to at least get sponsors someday, so I'm going to throw them in from time to time.
We'll come back – let's come back to your sports story right after the list.
Yeah, it's just good business.
Because it's probably going to – it's going to top ours.
I'm going to throw in my first example of a top 10 ice cream flavor. This is in my bottom five. Is from a brand called Homemade. And the flavor is black raspberry chip. So homemade black raspberry chip. And just a couple comments on that. One, I am not a fruity dessert guy. So I'm not a fruity guy to begin with. But the desserts that I don't like are fruity. Both things are true. So typically if I'm at a dinner, an event, whatever, if we're going out, I'm not going to be the guy to get strawberry flavored this or the parfait thing or whatever. I prefer the chocolates, the vanillas, salty stuff, caramel, hazelnut, whatever, any of those kinds of things, not fruity. But black raspberry chip from homemade breaks that. It's the exception, and it's just so good. But for listeners, I want you to hear the brand homemade and try it. I believe it's a national brand. We had it a lot in Michigan. When I moved to Florida, I found it. It's not at Publix. It's not even at Target that I know of, but I found it at Fresh Market. And homemade is famous for their chocolate chips. That is what they're known for. And so They have a whole array of flavors, and in almost every flavor, they put in their chocolate chips. So that's what makes it unique. So homemade black raspberry chip is just phenomenal. The flavor, how they've got it with the chocolate chips. And it's as somewhat of a self-proclaimed ice cream snob. I was raised by an ice cream lover and my dad. And I would say that the quality of an ice cream, not just the taste or my personal preference, but the quality of the ice cream is really important to me. And I would put the brand homemade very high on my list of brands. So that's the one I would choose to share with you guys.
And I was doing some... I was doing some research while you were talking, because I remember us when you brought it up. I didn't know they are from Cincinnati. Okay. And according to their map, I cannot within 100 miles of where I live, I cannot get it. So
wow.
So it is rare in my
Pella,
parts.
Iowa.
In Pella, Iowa.
I'm so sorry.
I know. I am also sorry, because so honestly, IV, it looks delicious.
Could you call the Hy-V? Is that what you've got? What else do you have in Pella?
Hy-V, Fairway, and Wally World.
Wow. Well, let's have a separate conversation about Wally
Fresh
World.
Fresh Market in Peoria, Illinois. Fresh Market, Peoria, Illinois is the closest one to me.
Well, we'll get on the horn with some of the executives at Hy-V and see what we can do.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah.
So, Brett, why don't you share a flavor with us?
All right. Since we're just kind of, I'm going to pick one that I know that you will not have access to where you guys live, and then we'll talk about it. wow. This is on because rankings are important to me. This is ninth on my list. It is a brand called Whitey's, and the flavor is Graham Central Station.
I know why Mark's laughing.
I don't know why he's laughing. Sorry. Please don't interrupt. I need complete silence for
this
part.
We're going to have to cut this out because Brett's first brand is racist.
That's racist ice cream right there.
It is, indeed. It not.
How do you spell that? Whitey?
Exactly how you think.
Whitey's.
Yep, nailed it. So,
what was the name of it again?
Whitey's Graham, so like Graham Cracker, Central Station. I had it at a, we visited an actual Whitey's ice cream shop in, I guess I would say Central Iowa on a road trip one time. And I'm a big fan of like textures in ice cream is what I care about. So I'm not a huge fan of just soft serve. And I'm not a fan of like vanilla or chocolate hard pack ice cream because I want to be able to I like the different textures, which is why I think my number one ice cream is what it is because of the number of different textures in it. So I enjoy graham crackers in things like I like, you know, pies and things like that with graham cracker in it. So but I just think it's unique and it's just phenomenal, and you can't get it, I'm pretty sure, outside. I'll do some research while Mark is sharing his. But it's an Iowa brand, and it's probably only available in a few Midwest states. So there's mine. Number nine.
Yeah, it looks like – so it looks like it's – they do sell at Hy-V and Fairway. and it looks like there are 8 retail. Is it called retail in ice cream? I don't know what it's called. Retail locations. 8 in Illinois, or excuse me, 4 of the 8 are in Illinois, and 4 are in Iowa, and they all kind of surround. I think, Brett, is it the state border where Davenport is? And it's that whole. They're all very close to each other.
Yeah, they call them the Quad Cities.
Yeah, they're all in the Quad Cities area.
Two in Illinois and 2 in Iowa.
Got it.
These are like hard to get ice creams.
Yeah, that's why I just kind of Kyle started us off, and I was like, all right, I'm going to talk about hard to get ice creams too.
Well, I think we're going to get to some better known brands for sure. But I want to, Brett, I want to point out something you said that I love when it comes to food in general, but that's texture. And to even add like some filter to our top 10 list, anytime it comes to food, what you might hear us talk about are the 3 T's, which are taste, texture, and temperature. And I know people that don't care about, maybe they only care about taste, or they don't even care about any of the 3. My dad is one of the most bland, just plain eaters on the planet. But I'm big on all 3, taste, temperature, and texture, and I think texture is a big deal. So that totally resonated with me, what you said, Weirs.
Appreciate it. That was from the heart.
Does it have chunks of graham cracker in it?
It does.
Huh. Interesting.
It sounds like, Mark, you would not enjoy that ice cream like me. So
That'd be a hard pass.
I'm excited to hear what is so great about yours.
Well, it may not be great to you, but that's not the point. The point is that it's great to you.
Yeah, Brett, I'm just looking on Whitey's website here. I hate that name so much.
It's the most racist ice cream.
It looks so good.
How does it look different than any other ice cream?
It just does, Mark.
Go to their website, Mark. Do some research.
Man.
Enlighten yourself.
It just does.
All right, Mark, what do you got? All right,
so mine, it's number 8 on my list. Twisty Treat Chocolate Soft Serve with Jimmy's. Chocolate Jimmy's. If you don't know what Jimmy's are, it's the New England version of sprinkles.
Okay.
Coated all over the place on that thing.
So it's just sprinkles.
Jimmy's.
I'm so disappointed. What? It's just sprinkles.
Is there something about a Jimmy that makes it different than a sprinkle?
No, just a different name.
Got it.
Now, Kyle, I feel like we had a discussion about what was allowed on this list, and I thought one of our rules is that it wasn't like a restaurant drive through, like you had to be able to buy it like at a grocery store.
No, nobody told me that.
Because I'm
okay. So here's my thing. To narrow the list, I would probably have it where you're like, okay, you could get this at a store, because in other words, we are giving some list that's like, okay, not everybody listening could go get this tomorrow. I would love to share some flavors that maybe anybody could get access to. I would pick more of a bone with the is Twisty Treat soft serve, Mark?
Yes.
Okay. So
it's not. It's
I move
not,
to disqualify
however,
this.
It's not McDonald's soft serve, which is actually not ice cream. That is a something product, whatever. It's weird. It says on the bag.
Friendly reminder that when I first shared our top 10 list, I put a Wendy's Frosty as my number 9, and I was torn apart. I was torn to pieces.
I gave a hard veto on that, no doubt.
I know, yeah, that's no what doubt. I'm saying. How much different is this?
Correct, and I would
this
agree
is
with
actual
you.
Ice
and
cream.
I think there is. It's safe to say that there is a significant difference between hard ice cream and soft serve. Even just in the words that I just used, you should be able to hear the difference.
It's made with ice milk. It's a dairy product, but it's soft.
See, this is an interesting conversation because soft serve surely does not have the same versatility as hard ice cream as far as what you can create. I think historically speaking, people usually think of vanilla, chocolate, or twist. And I think some places have gone a little off the reservation with it. Does Twisty Treat have a number of different flavors?
Yes.
Okay. Brett, what's your ruling on if we can include Twisty Tree?
They serve actually.
Listen, I'm trying not to be a vindictive person because Mark is one of my dear friends, as we mentioned in the intro. But I do feel that it is closer to why you didn't like the Frosty idea than it is to not. So that's why I would say, at worst, this is a travesty, and at least, how dare you?
Fair, and that's on the record.
It's travesty to how dare you,
and that's on the record.
That's
for
all
sure.
I get.
What's I think it's important that Brett was able to say that.
But it's not. It's not like a. It's not. Whatever the name is, product. They just call it like it's a dairy product.
Well, and here's the thing. This is the honorable mention category. So I almost say allow it, Mark, because these are not worthy of our top five.
I'm not the one disallowing it.
Mark, settle down. Allow it, okay?
You guys gave it travesty to how dare you. That's where I fit in.
All right.
Because it's soft.
Let's just summarize this part of the conversation as Mark is certainly in the minority. It's a questionable pick at best, but at least we've heard you out, and we'll move on to the next flavor.
Fine. All right. All right. Fine. All right. Fine.
Now fine. I vote that we say our top three in a row, and then we have then you fight for why they should be top three.
I like it.
Great, and we don't need a lot of commentary because let's just hear the three from each, and then we can, fire shots after we've heard each other.
All right, Kyle, Brett, Mark, ready, go.
Okay, so number one, favorite flavor of all time, Haagen-Dazs, chocolate peanut butter. Number two, you're going to hear a theme here, personal preference. Number two is Baskin-Robbins, chocolate peanut butter. Number three, Baskin-Robbins chocolate chip.
Wow. So, okay, we're just going to go, and then we're going to talk. So I will hold my comments. My top three are, number one, Ben & Jerry's Tonight Dough. Number two, Haagen-Dazs Peanut Butter Chocolate. And number three, Kilwin's Toasted Coconut.
Ooh. All right, my top three. You guys, I feel like anything I say, you're going to crucify me. Okay.
Tread lightly.
Number one, Publix Premium Ice Cream, Chocolate Almond. Number two, Baskin-Robbins, Jamocha Almond Fudge. Number three, back to Publix Premium, Classic Mint Chocolate Chip.
I think this just shows how we grew up and in which decade we grew up. Also, I just want to point out that Kyle and I were born in 1987 and 86, respectively.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, so let's just jump into the berating.
Oh, my favorite.
I think what it reveals. I think what it reveals is again. I told you earlier, I'm an ice cream snob. So you've been warned.
You've been warned.
Where I'd go back to the Wendy's Frosty or the McDonald's ice cream is if I look at a top 10 list, I want to rate who are the places that are claiming to be great at ice cream. Now, I don't deny that there are stores who maybe.
That's what was so surprising to me. Publix never said.
I don't deny that there are stores. There are grocery stores who may say, well, that's something we have chosen to be experts at. So yes, we're a grocery chain, but we are known for our ice cream. That I will allow. Publix is not that. Publix has never claimed to be that. They don't try to be that. So I just want fans at home listening to know that two of Mark's top three flavors ever are store brands.
Dude,
they're not ice
cream. I grew up in Vermont. There was Ben and Jerry's around the corner from my house.
Exactly.
Loved it.
Exactly.
When I tasted Publix Premium Ice Cream, Chocolate Almond, in fact, it was better to me.
Okay.
Also, I just want to point out, when Kyle says to our fans listening, he really is referring to our spouses. So,
to our spouses.
I'm being optimistic. And I thought Mark just now very succinctly presented a defense It doesn't sway me in the least, but I will receive it and respect
sure.
it.
Yeah, okay. It was a terrible defense, but it was a defense. So
correct.
Now, Kyle,
which incidentally
he pulled the personal preference card.
Incidentally, we're going to move on. Kyle, I find it very interesting after the hill you chose to die on over Homemade's chocolate chip goodness, that Homemade did not take your number three spot for that chocolate chip flavored ice cream, what was it? Baskin Robbins you chose?
Yeah. So, Baskin Robbins fits every filter I just berated Mark on, meaning it is an ice cream. You know, they claim to make the best ice cream. You don't have to agree, but it's what they do.
It's actually a Dunkin' Donuts, and they have Baskin Robbins.
False. That is not true. That is a capitalist gambit that has taken place in the last 10 years.
You take that back.
Yeah. Wow. See, this just reveals Mark's ignorance. Really, is what it does.
They're literally the same color palette. They chose the pastel pink and brown and orange together.
Mark cares about graphics. Just FYI to everybody.
Did you know that 31? For 31 flavors in Baskin Robbins is in the BR of their logo. Did you know that?
I did not know that. Thank you for sharing that. That's actually really cool.
I did know that, and that just proves to me that Baskin Robbins is so much better than Publix.
Wait, I gotta look this up now. Now I feel dumb because that's awesome. I'm looking at the logo, and it's like I just thought it was cool coloring.
31 right there in the middle.
31. I wonder if somebody at one of their board meetings was like, guys, I know this is going to sound crazy. I have an idea for a 30-second flavor. And then
no, I'm sorry, we can't.
So for the nerds, if there are any listeners at home someday who listen to this episode and are a bit nerdy, they might already know what I didn't know, which is that the Baskin Robbins parent company is Dunkin' Brands. So just a little interesting factoid.
Told you.
You didn't tell me anything. They were not combined in retail, in brick and mortar. Unbelievable. I was not conceding anything. I was merely sharing a fact that is interesting.
You were confused.
I want to address Brett's question.
Mark, let him share a fact, okay?
I want to respond to Brett's question because I think it's a really good one. Brett, Homemade actually twice makes my top 10 list. This will show you why the fact that Baskin Robbins chocolate chip is even in my top three is actually pretty amazing, because chocolate chip itself in most other brands is not even close to a favorite flavor of mine. I would never choose to get chocolate chip at most other places. So like the Homemade flavors that are on my list are black raspberry chip and mint chocolate chip. Those are the ones I think taste the best. And it is the high quality. Baskin Robbins chocolate chip is that perfect combination where I say it's a flavor I don't typically love, but Baskin Robbins does it so well. If you've had Baskin Robbins chocolate chip, you know that it's very like grainy. It goes back to that texture piece, and the chocolate chips are like melt in your mouth and they're smaller. It's one of the most unique textures I've ever had in an ice cream, and it's why it sits at the number three spot for me.
You answered with great aplomb, and I thank you.
I appreciate it. I don't know that I have any critique or response to yours, Brett. All three of your flavors I love, and I think even – can you say them again? Because I think even two of them, the Kilwins Toasted Coconut is amazing, and there was the second one you mentioned. You said Häagen-Dazs Chocolate Peanut Butter. What was the second flavor you mentioned?
My number one is Ben & Jerry's Tonight Dough.
That's right. Okay, so Tonight Dough is actually number 10 on my list. It's a great flavor. That's another I like Ben & Jerry's, but it's not like my favorite brand or style of ice cream.
So I think...
But it's really good.
So at this stage in my life, I'm not going to go into the details, but I'm a larger guy who's lost a significant amount of weight recently. So when we started talking about this, which in my notes, I edited this last in May of this year. So it's been a couple months. I was at a very like, I'm not allowed to eat sugar because I'm trying to lose weight situation. So when I was making this list, it was very much, what are the things that I am currently desiring that I cannot have? And Ben & Jerry's Tonight Dough is like the worst total ice cream spoonful you could have. I mean, a chunk of brownie, a chunk of you know, peanut butter cookie dough, a chunk. I mean, it's just, it's so bad for you, but it's so rich, and every bite, you're just so satisfied. That's why it's number one.
It's so good. It's so good. Mark, did you have any other thoughts on any of our flavors, any other general ice cream thoughts you wanted to add?
Well, Laura Johnson has been making the Publix ice cream flavors for 34 years.
Oh, he's researching now, she's folks. Mark is on the computer and researching.
She's known throughout the company as the ice cream lady. She's developed roughly 100 flavors in that time over the last
34
years.
Why'd you have to
years.
Make it so personal?
Known by who? Hold on, known by who? Is this real news or fake news?
This is real news. She lives in Winter Haven in Florida. Publix is a Lakeland-based company, and they have a dairy plant in Lakeland that just produces ice cream.
He's making a strong case, Kaz. I'm not saying that it's a good case.
For what purpose? Oh, there's no doubt anyone who listens to this, again, and this will be the last time I give this caveat, if and when we ever have audience members, who will disagree vehemently with me. I don't care.
I don't care.
But I'm kidding.
That's fine. You are the self-assessed.
But I can acknowledge the veracity.
You're the self-assessed ice cream snob. So it's
correct.
It's totally your bent.
Correct. That's and great. Here's the great thing about top 10 lists. There may be at some point more objective facts around things, but most lists we're going to be dealing with are your choice. You can go home tonight after listening to this and say, you know what? Forget Kyle. I'm going to go to Publix and get that flavor that Mark mentioned, and it will not change my life one bit. That's right. And that's why we're doing this.
That is why, right there.
That is why.
Freedom of choice.
Change our lives one bit.
Do we, before we move on, do we want to just throw out one more honorable mention? Because obviously right now this is only 4 out of 10.
Why not?
Something that is nationwide available, ? Or again, something that's just specific, you know. I don't know.
No doubt. I think it's great, Brett. Why don't you share? But real quick, let's just go to our next not sponsor. Insurance from many sides nationwide. We protect members for a lifetime. Your first car, your first apartment, your fury friends. Excuse me.
You went to nationwide.
Brett said nationwide, and I just typed it in. We'll scratch that because I said your fury friends instead of furry. Let us pause real quick for a word from our not sponsors. Nationwide Insurance. Insurance for your many sides. We protect members for a lifetime. Your first car, your first apartment, your furry friends, a home of your own, your children's future, your weekend escape. Nationwide. Manage your account online. So, Brett, you had some thoughts about flavors, additional flavors you wanted to add before we move on?
Yeah. So... it's really interesting how the majority of our brands, I just want to make a general comment. I mean, obviously, you have 2 Häagen-Dazs and I have 1 Häagen-Dazs, and they're nationwide. But I would say, as I look at my list as a whole, there's a lot of very regional brands. And I think that is telling of a more, that ice cream has a, there's a nostalgia piece. For example, Bluebell is an ice cream I have no access to. When I was down visiting you guys in Florida, I had some, and I'm like, oh, I get why everybody talks about, like, this is really good.
Yep.
Hudsonville is kind of the big creamery around us, and one of their flavors is called, well, it used to be called Superman. They changed it to Super Scoop, probably for trademark reasons. And, but there's like a nostalgia piece to that that I can't get it very often, so that when I go back home, I want it. But I could argue that it's not anywhere close to as good as the rest of my top 10. You know what I mean? So
totally. Well, and you're showing.
I can't even eat ice cream anymore.
What'd you say, Mark?
I can't even eat ice cream anymore at my age. I've become lactose intolerant.
Have you really?
And ice cream.
If I want to sit on the toilet for at least a good solid 3 hours, I'll have ice cream. I mean, enjoy it, but it wrecks my entire system. I can't.
Okay.
Do you take lactate or something when does that help?
No, I don't take any medication. I hate medication.
Well, okay. Take it easy, anti-vaccine Mark. That's not where I was going with that. What I was trying to say was, do you take something like a lactate that will help minimize the results? My wife is lactose intolerant, but if she takes a lactate, she could have ice cream or pizza, and it barely impacts her.
Wow.
No, I recently discovered oat milk, and I have that in my coffee. It's amazing.
Wow.
It's not amazing, but that is a great opportunity to take a break and listen to our next sponsor, which is Simply Oat Milk. If you want milk that's less good but won't make you have to run to the bathroom, try Simply Oat Milk.
That's solid. Solid. Well, I hope at the risk of being too much information.
That's such well-written marketing.
At the risk of being too much information for our audience on Mark's bowel movements, I hope that for our audience, you've just maybe resonated with something that you have felt for a long time, that I love ice cream. I want to get in on this top 10 list action, but it just messes me up. And I hope what Mark just shared has actually been encouraging for those of you listening.
I know at least one of our listeners has lactose intolerant issues.
There you go. There you go. Brett, I think what you just said about Hudsonville actually shows a lot of self-awareness, which I respect so much when someone's able to say, look, I can understand that this may not be everybody's favorite, but it means a lot to me. Not just even the personal reasons, but you say, I just think it's really good, and I would be fine with that. And then there might be other flavors where you say, look, objectively, if you say this isn't good, I will fight you. There are both camps. And Hudsonville is one of those for us where I'm not from Michigan originally. I would say it's not even close. Hudsonville is not a brand that I enjoy. I don't think it's that great. But I can totally respect your enjoyment of it, and especially the fact that you grew up on it. I could totally relate to.
And that, but then you could, I agree, and that also the opposite of Häagen-Dazs chocolate peanut butter is without a doubt, should be on everyone's top 10 list if they like chocolate and peanut butter. It is just that good.
Oh, yeah, I will fight you if you have taste buds. If you don't have taste buds, you get a pass. But
how about people that are allergic to peanuts?
Wow. Yeah, I guess that would be also... pass worthy.
You just punch them first.
Give them a swift punch just in case. Better safe than sorry.
Then shove it in your
All right, so we're going national brands, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So because I have one on my list that is not a national brand, but I'll go. I'll stick with the topic. You mentioned Blue Bell, Brett, and that is as a Midwest kid, I never had Blue Bell until I moved to Florida. They have a flavor, I like a lot of their flavors, but they have a flavor called birthday cake that does not often make it into the stores. I've only found it a few times. Again, not a flavor I would typically go in on, but I love it. I love Blue Bell's birthday cake. It has cake pieces that are similar to cookie dough, but just a little different in texture. Again, going back to the texture thought. And then sprinkles, not to be confused with Jimmy's, just regular sprinkles. And it's just a really good flavor.
I like how you got to take that, Mark. Nice little dig there, Kaz.
No confusion there.
Where are you on the temperature side?
Of ice cream?
Does ice cream have to be like freezing? Like it needs to be like so hard I can't scoop it with a thing?
Oh, that's a fantastic question. No, no. So I like my ice cream. I actually like it a little bit softer. I'll let it melt a little bit, but I'm not a fan. So my mom is someone who will scoop herself a bowl of ice cream and leave it on the counter for 20 minutes in order to get soupy. And that makes me mad. Yeah, that makes me mad.
Yeah, I'm upset right now. I'm sweating.
Hey, Kaz, can I get clarification on that Blue Bell? I'm on their website, and I see confetti cake, and then I see crazy cookie dough, but I don't see birthday cake.
I think they changed the name because, again, I don't know why it's rare. I think it's a great flavor. Maybe it doesn't sell well. There was a Walmart that sold it in Orlando for a couple years, and I couldn't find it at any other store, but I would get it at that Walmart. And I remember when I left Orlando for a year and came back after finishing school, I was not able to find birthday cake at that Walmart or anywhere for like 2 years. And then like 3 months ago, I went to a Publix and I saw confetti cake, and it's a little different, but it's the closest thing to what birthday cake was.
Gotcha.
Is confetti cake.
Hotly contested. This is good.
Yeah, Mark, what other was there another one you wanted to add to the list?
I had my number four was a company called So Delicious. Chocolate cookies and cream.
Wow.
I can confirm. My wife, as another lactose intolerant person, big fan of that one. I've tried it. It is delicious.
It's dairy free, is that right?
Yeah.
Got it.
Yep.
I can't say that I've had it.
I've tried several of them. Like, they make them with like coconut milk based ones or almond milk based ice creams, things like that. This
is cashew milk.
Yeah, it was.
Are they all cashew milk? I see some flavors are mousse, mousse. For those of you listening,
yeah, I haven't done a whole lot of digging into the company.
Way to be prepared for the podcast, Mark.
Like I did with Publix, and I know Laura Johnson. You know,
unbelievable,
makes all the ice cream flavors at Publix. That's fine.
Keep pushing that.
I don't know. So delicious.
Now we can't make fun of Publix because now we're making fun of Lauren. Way to go. Way to go, Mark. I hope you're happy.
Here's my thought, and I would say this. I would say this.
It's Laura.
Laura Johnson.
Laura.
Yeah. Yes. I would say this to Laura's face, which is, you know.
I know where he's going. I would say this to Laura's
face. I'm not going to be hurtful. I would say, look, I respect. And let me step that back. I don't respect. I acknowledge what you do. that it's a thing that happens.
This lady has been making ice cream longer than you've been alive.
You said 32 years.
Listen, 34.
You said 32 years.
34.
Okay, well, I'm 30. Well, I'll be 34 next week. She hasn't been doing it that long. Let's just put it that way.
I respect what my, you know what? No, I acknowledge what my opponent said.
Okay. Well, let me get this. Let me just share this point. Cause I think the light bulb went off when Mark said what he did. I think, and I didn't say this earlier, the best way I can articulate why I want to see an ice cream place that just does ice cream is because I want to say, you have had to earn it. You have had to make good ice cream in order to survive. Whereas a Publix, whether I'm right or not, a Publix has not had to do that. So she has had backing, she had the money, the warehouse, all of that. Where I look at Laura and I want to say, you didn't have to make incredible ice cream to survive. You were given this privilege. Now again, we're not going to get into that whole conversation. Privilege isn't a bad thing in and of itself. But it doesn't mean I have to acknowledge that your ice cream is amazing. Whereas, like, So Delicious, you know, they're not sucking on the teat of some other product that they're selling. They've had to make a phenomenal product in the ice cream that they make. So I'm going to step off.
Yeah, I want to state, and please, I want this on the record, that Mark has garbage opinions and is a garbage person, but whom I love deeply.
Strong words in both directions.
I vacationed with him. I love him, but I also, in a more real sense, think his opinions are garbage.
Okay, well, that seems like a better spot than any to end our podcast for today. Thank you all for tuning in to the TWP podcast. We hope that you come back for future episodes where we will be talking about lots of other fun topics like favorite childhood memories, best scenes from TV shows and the hardest you've ever laughed or cried. Mark and Brett, any parting thoughts for our friends at home?
Can't wait for episode 2.
Yeah. Publix makes great ice cream. Changed my mind.
Wow. Wow. Cue outro music. That's unbelievable.